Well, I hope I didn't expend all my ammunition in the first hour. You reckon he'll do it again, Brother Jerry?
Yes.
Boy, I hope so. Tell you, I just got in one gear, you know, what I like to preach in, and when you get in it, why, buddy, ain't no holding back. You get in that gate, like that old fellow said, that preacher got to preaching one time and got to moving pretty good and got to preaching, and the fellow jumped up in the back and said, take a bridle off that little mare and let her trot. And he took the bridle off and let her go. Amen. And I hope that's what the Lord will do for us this morning. I want to ask you to turn your Bible to Psalm 40, please. We're going to begin our study through this chapter of David's writings in the book of Psalms, in chapter number 40. And when you find your place there, why, you stand and we'll read the scripture together this morning, okay? Psalm 40. Begin reading in verse number 1. David said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And He put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered.
Amen.
Let's put off reading right there and ask the Lord to help us and give us grace here in this hour this morning. Our Father, now I need your help this morning.
Yes.
I need another old-time filling of the Spirit of God. Would you please, this morning, touch me one more time in my spirit, breathe on my soul the good grace and the glory of God, and help me with liberty this morning. Lord, preach my heart and my soul to the people, and help me to rightly divide this Scripture, be a blessing to the church, and bring honor and glory to your name. And Father, I pray that every old lost sinner under the sound of my voice will come to Christ and be born again. Help them, Lord, this morning to see great light, to walk in that light, to love you, to love the Christian life, to love the church and the house of God and the preaching of the Word of God. And Lord, help them to just sell out totally to Thee. Give their lives to Christ. Now, may You bless us, meet every need, solve every problem, mend every broken heart, and we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I want to begin our study in the book of Psalm chapter number 40 this morning by way of preaching to it here in the morning worship hour. And really the thought that I want to convey to you, really it's found in verse number 2 where David said there, He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And I want to take that verse, and in fact, the first 5 verses, and preach for a little while on the thought up, out, and upon. That's what he said in verse number 2. He brought me out of a horrible pit. He brought me out of the miry clay. And then he set my feet upon a solid rock, and he established my goings. And so David said there, he brought me up, out, and put me upon. Up, out, and upon. And I want to say to you this morning, I'm glad and thankful in my heart that Christ has done that in the life of Brother Hall.
Amen.
Not only in the life of Brother Hall, but every old sinner who has repented and called upon the name of the Lord, He's brought him up, out, and set his feet upon something solid,
yes,
and established his goings, and he put a new song in his heart. Do you remember that old song you used to sing? Thank God, I'm telling you, I'm glad today I'm singing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I opened up the newspaper the other day to one of the pages, and there they talked about the awards down in Nashville And they had the best singer and the best vocalist and all this, and pictures in the paper and who they put in the Hall of Fame. And I'll be honest with you, I don't give a flip about George Strait and Tammy Wyandotte and all that crowd. But I do like the Psalms of David. I like psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And I got that way when God brought me up, brought me out, and put me upon a solid rock. Thank God He brought me out of the miry clay, brought me out of sin, and set my feet upon a solid rock and established my goings. Now, this old blessed hymn of the saints, the Bible tells us, was written to the chief musician and was intended to be sung in public worship. I tell you, no wonder it should. This psalm reverts back to the day when David was brought out of sin, to the day that God gloriously delivered him and saved him by His wonderful grace. Now, I want to say to you, church, that if any kind of singing cranks your spirit, it ought to be the hymns of the faith about the day that God saved you. Brother, I'll tell you, there's nothing that blesses my heart any more than good choir singing or good solo singing or the good music that tells me and reminds me of where I was when Christ found me and how that He brought me out of the deep miry clay. Brother, I'll tell you, it rings a bell in my heart when I remember where I was when He found me and where I am now. I don't know about you, but I was sinking deep in the mire, brother. My life was just about expended. I was just about gone. I was on the last leg, so to speak. But thanks be unto God, before I went under, that omnipotent hand of God reached out of the clouds of heaven, all the way from the throne of grace, extended down into the lowest part of the pit, and lifted up Brother Hall and brought me up, out, and set me upon. I was like a wanderer and a nomad, but I'm glad that God set my feet on a rock and established my goings and give me a direction in life. I just want to say this morning, thanks be unto God that I know that I know that I've been to Calvary and been redeemed by the grace of God. No wonder this hymn was to be sang in public worship. Like that one we sang on the third day, rolled the stone away. Then I like to sing that and hear Sue back there get to squealing. Yes, thank God. Amen. I remember the day He rolled the stone away from the mouth of the cave, and like Lazarus, He brought me out bound hand and foot. But the Holy Ghost said, loose him and let him go. And I've been at liberty in God ever since. Hallelujah to God. Oh yes, He brought me out. Brought me out. Set me upon and give me a hope of glory down in my heart. Thanks be unto God. Now I tell you, it's the kind of songs like that will make you shout. Amen. These kind of hymns. Some we don't want to come in here and sing about the great judgment morning when we all stand at the great judgment morning. No, sir. We want to sing something that's got to put a little joy in our heart. Amen. Put a smile on our face. Remind us of grace. Remind us of Calvary. Remind us of the fact we've been justified. Thank God they're talking about justification in the office this morning. Brother, I'll tell you, that's a thought to meditate upon. That Bible said we are justified by grace. But it also says we're justified by His blood. It also says we're justified by faith. And so I'm telling you, justified don't just mean just like you never sinned. Justified means guiltier than a hound dog, and yet set free and pardoned from your guilt. That's God. That makes me happy. I am a sinner. Brother, right out of the loins of Adam. But thanks be unto God, when Jesus shed His blood, He come to the depths of the pit. I'm talking about to the very mire in the pit, to the depths of depravity and sin, and lifted me out of the grave. Hallelujah. And set my feet on the rock, Christ Jesus, and established my going and put a song in my heart. And if you don't believe there's a song, may I sing you one. Thank God. Now, let me say that prophetically speaking, this psalm speaks of our Lord Jesus in the days of His passion. I know that from verses 6, 7, and 8 and so on. But it speaks of our Lord Jesus. In the days of His passion, when He, by the grace of God, tasted death for every man, becoming our substitute, and the raging torrents of hell flooded His holy soul in a feeble effort to conquer Him and to hinder you and I from coming to Christ and being saved by the grace of God. I'm here to tell you, church, if anything gets a hold of your heart this morning, I want it to be this fact, that, son, it was the Son of God that plummeted to the depths of sin all the way down to that horrible pit in the torrents of hell itself, and there on Calvary experienced the wrath of God, the judgment of God, the condemnation of God, was separated from God, experienced darkness and death, and tasted it for you, and came up victorious out of the grave, thank God, and today He sits at the right hand of the Father to make intercession for us. Hallelujah, in His wonderful name. I'm telling you, it'd revolutionize you, your Christian life, to get a hold in your heart. I'm talking about get a heartfelt feeling of what Christ went through to save your miserable soul from hell.
Yes.
Buddy, we talk and preach about the wrath of God. And it's the wrath of God, something. I see God's wrath right there. A horrible pit.
Amen.
A horrible pit. The torrents of hell itself. That word, a horrible pit, literally means a tumultuous place. A loud roaring. A horrible pit that there's no escape from. I'm telling you, the Lord Jesus went into a pit. Oh, if you can get a hold of this. He went into a pit where there was absolutely no escape from. But by His own power, He lifted Himself back up out of the miry clay. Hallelujah to God. And brought grace and glory down to sinners that you and I might be saved by the grace of God. You get a hold of that? Huh? I hope so. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Savior. His man unto the uttermost. Well, He's wonderful and He's glorious. Oh, what a Savior is mine. What a Savior we've got. There on the cross. Woo! When God's wrath was poured out. And the Son of God's soul was in travail. And death seized upon Him. I'm telling you that He tasted that death for every man. But it didn't stop there. He plummeted to the very depths of the horrible pit in the raging flames of hell itself and suffered your eternal hell and came out by the grace of God.
Yes.
Somebody said, I don't believe that. Then you're going to hell.
Yes.
Son, I'm telling you, it took Him 3 days to experience what it would take you and I in eternity to get done. Oh, what a Savior that we have. Do you know that just like Joseph was put in the pit and brought out, Joseph is a type of the Christ, amen, he was put in a pit and brought out. I'm telling you, the Son of God went into a pit and was brought out for the souls of mankind. But hey, I see something else here. I see here that which every guilty sinner must experience for himself in coming to Christ. Somebody said, Brother Hall, I've never experienced that. Then, friend, you've never been hanged out over hell and saw yourself, friend, and felt, saw yourself separated from God and felt the agony of hell and the flames of hell lapping around your immortal soul, friend. I tell you, if you've never experienced that, then you've never been saved by the good grace of God. For I'm here to tell you, friend, that every sinner that is saved is brought out of a horrible pit. Yes, sir, sinking in the quagmire desires of sin and despondency and despair. Lost without God and without hope. Now I'll tell you, the Holy Ghost will hang a sinner out over hell and bring him to a place of condemnation and guilt, my friend, before he'll ever pardon him. You'll never be pardoned until you realize you're guilty. But if you'll ever get guilty and realize you're lost, you can get saved. I'll tell you, as the song says, I'm glad I got lost and I can get saved. Hallelujah to God. Somebody said it's a shame to be lost. No, it's a shame to stay lost. It ain't no shame to be lost. It's a shame to stay lost. Thanks be unto God. Oh, yes, sir. You're looking at a sinner-made saint.
Yes, sir.
And proud of it.
Amen.
You're looking at a man lost. What? But now he is. On a rock. Somebody said, how can that be? I'll tell you how. He brought me up. He brought me out. And he put me upon by the grace of God. Hallelujah. That's right. That's right. I see here also that whichever guilty sinner must experience for himself in coming to Christ. That awful guilt and anguish of soul as he is hung out over hell and finds himself helpless and hopeless and has no power to deliver himself. I'm telling you, here was a man, David, in this condition was helpless and hopeless and had no power to bring himself out. I'm telling you, this crowd, friend, this easy believism crowd, bow your head. All you got to do is repeat a prayer. You can repeat every prayer, friend, that's in the Bible. But unless God reaches down into the muck and the mire and the slime of sin and lifts you out, you'll sink below your nose come someday where there's no breath for you to breathe, and you'll die in that horrible pit and face God on judgment day without God and without any hope. I'm on target. I'm right where I want to be. I'm doing what everybody says I ought to do, preach the gospel. I've heard that, Brother Hall. I've heard a woman call me here years ago and said, you know, you're a good preacher. Said, but you'd be a better preacher if you'd just preach the gospel. A lot of folks don't understand what's in the gospel. Oh, I've heard Benny Carper and other fellows get in there and say, how the gospel is just a death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. I've got news for you, friend. Paul said in Romans chapter number 1, verse number 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is a power of salvation unto all that believe, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And he said, For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. For it is written, the just shall live by faith. I'm telling you, the righteousness of God is involved in the gospel. And the righteousness of God, my friend, makes guilty and condemned never hell-bound sinner, and shows them worthy of that condemnation. Amen. And then it says, for therein is the wrath of God revealed from heaven. I'll tell you, the gospel will reveal the righteousness of God and the wrath of God. But I'm glad, hallelujah, it'll also reveal the good grace of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. I'm telling you, I was just like old brother David. I was in a horrible pit, friend, had no way out, sinking in the miry clay. I deserved to be there. I was there. I was going to hell. But oh, the grace of God reached down into the pit and brought me out. Yes, glory to God. Hallelujah. Yes, thanks be unto God. Glory, glory, glory. Thank God. I see three things here this morning. I see, first of all, a sad situation. And then I see a great salvation. And then I see a glorious celebration.
Yeah.
Hallelujah to God. Woo! What a sad situation.
Yeah.
And it is a sad situation. This man was in a horrible pit.
Yeah.
Just like every old sinner. I preached this morning to the men on bended knees, broken hearts, and converted sinners.
Yeah.
Now I'm telling you, friend, every man, woman, boy, and girl that's lost is in a sad situation. They're in a horrible pit. They're not only in a pit, but they're in a miry clay. They're not only in the miry clay, they're sinking in the miry clay. But thanks be unto God. Oh, thank you, hallelujah. Have you ever been in a pit where there wasn't any darkness? I'm telling you, they found, David found himself in a horrible pit where there was no light. All was darkness, but hallelujah, out of darkness sprang light. Hallelujah to God. David got purged from the power of darkness unto light and was saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
That's right. That sad situation. David found himself in darkness. Hey, this thing was a pit. It was a dungeon. It was a prison. It was a grave. Somebody said, oh, he didn't get me out of the grave. Tell Lazarus that. Said, Lazarus, come forth. And one old preacher said, if he hadn't said, Lazarus, every dead sinner that's ever died went to the grave. Would have got up out of the grave. That blessed. Hey, there's coming an hour. Friend, when all that are in the graves shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and some shall come forth unto life, but others will come forth unto damnation. Thanks be unto God. I'm glad, thank God, I stared down at my mama's little old grave there at Solemn Cemetery on Friday. I said, Mama, I'll see you again. I don't know when, but I'll see you again. You are coming out. I'll see you again. Hallelujah to God. Oh, yes. Son, I'm telling you, that pit was a place of darkness. A sinner without God has no light at all. I'm talking about total depravity. Not a little glimpse of light. Not a glimpse of grace. And not a little dash of goodness about you. You're wicked or hell. You think it ain't dark in a pit? Years ago, when my children were just babies, just small. I don't even know how many of them can remember it. I don't even know if Benny was. Benny might have been a baby. Benny might not even been born yet. I'm not sure. But we went to Marengo Cave. That's Hall and I and the kids. I don't know if it was all, maybe all of them was with us. They might remember it. And then we went into that cave. They said that the Pilgrim Brethren met down in that cave and preached. They had a big rock down in there they used for a pulpit, and they preached off of that thing to people down below them. And we got down into that cave, and they had lights along the walls, and we went down an elevator shaft first and got off, started walking down, and there was things on it. Hey, you could take a coin. I saw flash cubes, coins there, just flip it like that, and then just go up against the ceiling, and just stick on that ceiling. It wouldn't fall on the ceiling of that thing. That one cavern was full of coins and flash bulbs and everything you could think of. We went way on down in that thing, and we sat down. And the tour guide was giving us some kind of a big speech. All of a sudden, when she's going along, she said, now, I want you to know, said, the Bible speaks of outer darkness. I like to faint it. That woman talking about the Bible. She said, the Bible speaks of outer darkness. She said, some of you in here may want to know what it's like to see outer darkness, to feel it. Know what real darkness is like. I'm talking about total darkness. She said, please don't anybody move. Sit in your seat and do not move. And buddy, somebody pushed a button and them lights went out. Now I'm telling you, honey, it was you talking about dark. Brother, you couldn't literally, you've heard the old saying, couldn't see your hand in front of your face. You could not see your hand in front of your face. That tour guide said, I want everybody here now to put your hand up in front of your face. Said, just get it as close as you can without touching your nose. I sat there and brought my, when I touched my nose, I moved it back a little and I could not see my hand in front of my face. All at once, all the lights come on and I felt, I looked around and everybody had their hand up. Looked like a bunch of fools sitting there. But I'm telling you, that's where a sinner is. But they're in darkness and they cannot see their hand in front of their face. Old David was in a horrible pit in the miry clay. He had no light, but thanks be unto God, out of darkness sprang light, and the light of God shined in that cavern and brought old David out of the miry clay, set him on a solid rock, and established his going. Hallelujah, he brought him up out of the bone. Ain't that right? So a sad situation. A place of darkness. Not only was the situation one of darkness, but it was very distressful. The Bible said it was a horrible pit. Not just a pit, a horrible pit. Can you get a hold of that? A horrible, horrible pit. Amen to God. One of the old early writers said it meant it was full of noise and turmoil. Said it, there was an uproar, perhaps with an idea perhaps with an idea of a cavern deep and dark and filled with horrors, and it's impassable. I'm telling you, David said, I was down in a deep, dark pit. He said, I heard the very sounds of hell. Somebody said, oh, hell, hell will be a quiet place. I'm telling you, hell's on an uproar. Friend, the noise of hell will deepen you, but it's so dark, you'll never see a soul there, my friend. Amen to God, there's no light, and there's noise and uproar and turmoil, but you'll never see it, but you'll hear it. And I'm going to tell you something else that's impassable. That's what made it so distressful. David said, I can't get out. And it was like quicksand. The harder he tried to get himself out, the deeper he got. Isn't that like an old sinner? The more you try, the better you do. And the more you try to do to get out, the deeper you get. You can't help yourself, friend. Amen to God. No sinner can. Hey, an old David said, I wriggled and twisted and turned and I tried to get out. But it's like quicksand. I kept on going down. And he said, I got in all the way down to my armpits. And I thought, surely I can't sink any lower. But I reached and wriggled and I continued to drift down, deep down into the mire. And he said, the mire rose up around my throat and my wind and air began to be cut off and I found breathing hard and it rolled up to my chin and I thought, under God, but when it covered my mouth, he said, I thought I was gone, but it raised above my mouth and my lip, and when it got to my nose, he said, hallelujah, a hand and a light, and thanks be unto God. Amen. That place I found impassable, Jesus passed by and dragged me out. He made a way. Thank God he made a way. When there was no way, he made a way for every old sinner to come to God. Son, you're talking about the horrible pit. We went to Indiana Friday to bury my daddy's last living brother, 91 years old. He'd have been 92 the 21st day of November. That tells y'all how long you got to put up with me, bless God. Long time. Look here. We drove up I-65 in Louisville. And they had signs up. Visit the haunted industrial house. I'm talking about billboard signs. I'm talking about $300 and $500 a month billboard signs. Come and experience the horrors of industry. Come and experience the horrors of the haunted house. I mean, come and hear the very voice of Satan and hear the hounds of hell as they howl in your ear and feel the touch of Satan as he moves up your back and up your spine in the darkness of this industrial house. I'm here to tell you, friend, amen to God, you better hear what I'm saying. Amen. Son, they may pull off their bull baloney, amen, and try to tell people how horrible and horrifying that place is, but I'm telling you, friend, ain't no haunted house that's ever been a haunted house that contains half the horrors that awaits a man lost and dying without God in hell. I'm telling you, it wasn't just a pit, friend. It was a horrible pit. And it wasn't just a horrible pit. It was full of miry clay. Not just clay, but miry clay. Slime and sloth and mire. And the man had no way out. It was an impassable place, but thanks be unto God. When there was no way to turn but up, David said, I waited patiently on the Lord, and he inclined his ear unto my cry. I'm glad while he waited patiently and cried unto God, God heard it and brought him out. Hallelujah. I think some of y'all have lost. Some of y'all ain't enjoying it a bit, and I'm going to tell you why. You're so far under conviction, you don't know how to which way to turn. I'm here to tell you, preaching like I'm preaching this morning, to save people or to have them, bless God, run in the aisle. If you can't see yourself down there and brought out, yes, sir, it was distressful. I want to say it was not only a sad situation, there was darkness and distressful, but it was desolate. He was in the miry clay, the slimy mud, where he could get no footing. He was alone and totally unable to do anything to affect his own deliverance. Alone. David said, there wasn't nobody down there with me. I was all by myself. You hear me well, friend. Salvation is you've got to come to Christ on your own. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. Now, I'm telling you, when God hangs a sinner out over hell, you can't help yourself. Mom and Daddy can't help you, friend. Somebody said, well, I'll get help from somebody else. Oh, no, you won't. Hey, I'm telling you, it is a desolate place under the conviction power of the Holy Ghost when it hangs a sinner out over hell and leaves him there to himself. Shuts him up to his own mind. Huh? That's right. Somebody told me one time, said, yeah, I'm going to hell. Said, I'm going to beat all my buddies there. That's junk, folks.
Yeah, right.
You ain't going to have no friends in hell.
Yeah, amen.
You ain't going to have no friends in hell.
Amen.
You better believe it. It was desolate. And I want to say it was dangerous.
Yes,
it was dangerous. Look here. The reason it was dangerous is, friend, because this man, David, must continue to sink in the mire and in the clay. Until the horrible pit, in that horrible pit, until he's forever lost. You hear me well, if God don't come to a sinner in that horrible pit, friend, hey, you talk about dangerous. I'm here to tell you that people in America are living on dangerous ground tonight. Oh, you better believe Brother Hall's telling it right, friend. They've had the gospel preached to them, and Madisonville has had the gospel preached, not because I've done it, but that radio station in there has preached the gospel to people all over this country. And bless God, this radio station has, and this church has, not just here, but other churches has as well. And yet, this is one of the most wicked, ungodly places to live in a man could ever live in. Now, I'm telling you, they're living on dangerous ground. Some of them are about ready to slip out of sight without God forever in the clay. No. You know what the Holy Ghost just told me? Hey, you know what man's made out of? The dust of the earth, just a hunk of clay.
Just a piece of dust.
You know what it just told me? That old man, hey, that man is just going back to where it come from. You just going back where you come from, man. Hey, don't you know God's offered you life? Don't you know that God has carved your body, not just a body, not just Adam, but every one of us is different, and God has taken every one of us and carved us out of the clay of the ground, bless our heart, and breathed into it the breath of life, and we become a living soul. But I'm telling you, that soul will go back to God, and the body will go to the dust, and so the spirit of man will live eternally in hell without God and without hope. And I'm here to tell you, God has given you the glorious, wonderful opportunity not only to become a living soul, but to become a spiritual being in God. Oh! Oh! This old first man bears the image of the earthly. He's earthly. But oh, praise God, this second man bears the image of the spiritual. And I know if I bear the image of the earthly, I shall bear the image of the earth, the heavenly. Oh, praise God, I'm here to tell you, sir, there's coming a day when I'm going to wake up in His likeness. And as Job said, I will not be satisfied until I wake up in His likeness. I'm looking for the day when this old clay will be made a spiritual man in the image of God. I'll be forever like Him. Now, sad situation, but I see a great salvation. There he was in a horrible pit. Dark and desolate and dangerous and distressing. But He lifted me out of the deep miry clay, and He settled my feet in a heavenly way. Oh, yes. Thank God. Hey, I not only see a sad situation, but I see a great salvation. And friend, hey, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? It is great. My faith. Oh, my God. I'm going to go on home right now. I'm telling you, Robert, it's good to be saved. Thanks be unto God. It is good and wonderful and blessed to be a child of God. To be saved. Oh, Brother Jerry, do you remember where you were? How far was you down, Jerry? 365 feet under the ground. In a horrible dark pit, but thank God, God brought him out with a great salvation. You know the first thing God done, what makes this salvation great? David got elevated. Woo! He lifted me out. He lifted me up. He elevated David. Son, I'm telling you, every sinner's ever been saved. Are you hearing me? Look here. God does three things for every sinner that's ever been saved. Number one, He lifts them up.
Amen.
But He lifts them up. He lifts them up from sin and destruction and hell. But now look here, I'm telling you, I don't know how God does all this. He must be something wonderful.
Yeah.
Because, hey, at the same time he's lifting them up, he brings them down.
Amen.
I'm telling you, that's something else. People, Jesus walked up to a man by the name of Zacchaeus that was a tax collector. I'm talking about wickeder than the devil, buddy. All he had on his mind was money, greedy, selfish, robbed from people, stole from people. I mean, do anything to make a dollar bill. And he was up a tree one day. And Jesus, he was deep in sin. Old Zacchaeus was in that pit. But Jesus walked up to that tree and said, Zacchaeus, come down. Now I'm telling you, at the same time he come down, he come up. Whoa! Thanks be unto God. And look here, you get a hold of this, son, I'm about ready to rapture. Hey, at the same time he come up, he come down, and he met Jesus on even ground, and he got saved by the grace of God. Woo! Jesus was waiting right in the middle to meet him all the time. Thank God. You get a hold of that. Ain't we got a wonderful God? Elevated. Up! Out and above! Elevated. I'm glad, thank God, he elevated me. Oh, yes, sir. Now, let me illustrate that to you. He brought Zacchaeus down. But that man that's going down to Jericho and fell amongst thieves, he was down in a ditch. He had to bring him up. And then there was a fellow in the Bible. All the Bible says, it just says he was a prodigal. And God brought him out. Son, can you get a hold of that this morning? Thank you. Up, pound the pole. Yes, sir. He brought up that old man going to Jericho. He brought him up. He brought Zacchaeus down. Amen to God. He brought the prodigal out. And if you say by the grace of God, he's done all the same to you. Be unto God. It's a great salvation, folks. It's great because it's elevating. It's great because it's establishing. He established my goings and set my feet on a rock. Ain't that right? He established what stability? What stability? Somebody said, before I got saved, I was wishy-washy. Yeah, and so was a lot of us. But I'm here to tell you, God can give you, make you, God can stabilize you and make you walk a straight line. I'm telling you, before I got saved, I didn't have enough responsibility. That's God. I mean, you're talking about an irresponsible dope. You're looking at one. I wouldn't work. I was like Maynard G. Krebs. Work. I didn't want to work. I didn't want to put food on the table. I didn't want to care for my family. I had no direction of life. I didn't care what happened to me. I didn't care where I went to bed at night and where I woke up in the morning. And didn't give a flip really whether I even woke up in the morning. Somebody said, oh yeah, you did. Oh no, you didn't. No, I didn't. You didn't know, Brother Hall. Somebody said, now, preacher, you're just a little man. Yeah, but I'm telling you, dynamite comes in small packages, and bless God, I was meaner than a devil.
Amen.
Huh? Mean, hateful, despisable. If I told you some of the things I'd done, you'd run me off. Hey, I'm just telling you the truth, boy. I'm telling you, hey, I just come so close to being in prison all my life. Old boy named Benny King come up to me one night and said, now, Hall said, you better settle down. I took a 12-gauge shotgun and put it right in his face. He said, Benny, you're going to better settle down. You're going to hell fast, boy. He said, man, I just stay cool now. You hear what I'm telling you? I didn't give a flip, friend. Huh? I didn't care. And I'm telling you, I had no direction of life, but I had direction in death. I was going to hell!
Amen!
But oh!
Yes,
oh, Brother Richie!
Yes.
Hallelujah to God! Running around in circles, but I'm telling you, when he brought me out, and set me above, he said, that's the direction I want you to go. I said, what direction is it? He said, in my way, because I am the way, hallelujah to God. And the way of the cross leads home, glory to God. Woo! I know the way. I know the way. It's a blood-sprinkled way. It's a grace way. It's a glorious way. It's an eternal way. It's a heavenly way. It's a good way. It's God's way. It's a wonderful way. It's a great salvation! Hallelujah to God. Amen. That great salvation is elevating and establishing, but it's also elating. Now, that's a big word I didn't know until I went to Arizona. I was preaching one morning. After I got done preaching, old Brother Dick Bowes, would you believe I pastored the First Baptist Church? of Green Valley. Old Brother Dick Bowles come up and he said, Pastor, he said, that's the best preaching I've heard in years. He said, I want you to know, he said, I was elated. I said, praise God, I was too. I went home and asked my wife, I said, honey, what's elated? I said, some guy in the church was elated. I said, you reckon he got confused in his language and meant something else? I mean, I never heard that word. But I'm telling you, elated means to be overflowed with joy.
Amen.
And happiness. He not only brought me up and out and put me upon, but hallelujah to God, he put a song in my mouth.
Yes.
Even praise unto our God.
Yes.
You hear me well, neighbor. If you've ever been brought out of darkness,
yes,
and distress and danger, you're going to be happy about it. Oh, and I'm telling you, we come home from Vietnam, found the bullets had been a-flying. It'd been kind of rough now. Tight pinches. And that old airplane, son, we come a-flying in and landed in California. What's the name of that Air Force base? Somebody help me. You ought to know. Well, you ought to know what it is. My, it's around Oakland somewhere. I know it's... Hey, and I got off of that big airplane, and when I got off, I knelt down like that, and them old boys said, look at that fool. I said, Woo! They said, what's wrong with you? I said, man, I'm happy. I said, don't you realize, them guys over there was using real bullets, boys. You talking about dangerous and distressful? And you talking about desolate? I got a letter over there one time, a girl, she said, Dear Gary, I said, uh-oh, don't want no more. I knew what the rest of it was going to be. I didn't even read the rest of it. I felt bad enough the way it was. Ain't that the way you felt as a sinner? Sinking down in that old clay. Darkness all around you, desolate, dangerous place. No way to get out, couldn't help yourself. Well, but God elevated you and established your goings, put you on a direction of life. And on that life, He put a song in your heart. Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
I feel like dancing. Thank God. And I would. Some of y'all wouldn't get ill. Let me, I'd cut a rug or two. Son, I went to Bible College in Greenville, South Carolina, and worked for Addison Corporation. Down there handling them doors and all that lumber and stuff. And I was walking up, I'd walk up and down them aisles and I'd sing, Amazing Grace, oh how sweet the sound. They'd hear me. I could hear them talking. There comes the fool. There comes the nut. But you know what? I'd look over at them and they'd be over with an old cigarette hanging out of their mouth. Working it. I mean, you just see, they just madder than a devil and mad at the whole world. And here come old Brother Hall. Well, I heard an old story. What's wrong with you? I just got out of the pit, boss.
Yeah.
I got paroled and pardoned.
Yeah.
I was in my...
Yeah.
Now, wait a minute, Brother Hall. You couldn't have been in that miry clay, because if you had have been, there'd have still been mud on your shoes and your clothes and all.
Ooh.
He washed me in
yeah.
blood. Hallelujah!
Yeah.
And He cleansed and stained, bless your heart. And He washed off the mire and the filth and the muck and robed me in righteousness, white and made me a child of God. Hallelujah
yeah.
to God.
Yes, sir.
Are you clean?
Amen.
Listen to this now. I tell you, I'm happy. I am happy because justice was magnified and grace was victorious. I'm happy because hell was subdued and heaven was glorified. I'm happy because death was destroyed and immortality was brought to light. I'm happy because sin was overthrown and righteousness was resplendent.
Yeah.
Hallelujah to God. Grace has won the battle. Oh, grace has come out victorious. You ask me why I'm happy.
Yeah.
I'll tell you why I'm glad. Because my sins are gone. Hallelujah to God. It's elating. I'm going to tell you something else. That great salvation is encouraging. Now somebody said, what do you mean encouraging? I want you to get a hold of this. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Now don't leave me. All of us may expect the same mercy as David in a delightful use of the same means. For this glorious example is intended by God to give us hope, however low our estate may be. He being always able and always near to deliver us. You hear me well, son. You talking about an example. He said, many shall see it and fear. Shall see what? Many shall see the fact that God has elevated you, brought you out.
Amen.
Brought you up, put you upon. And they'll see it and fear. Not talking about being scared to death of God, but a reverential fear. Oh, friend, I'm telling you, we can see sinners saved by our life and not our lips if we'll live.
Amen.
Oh, that's right. Amen to God. Hey, folks, lost men and women want to see you elated. Oh, they want to see you established.
Amen.
They want to see you living right by the glory and the grace of Almighty God. And you in your life can be one of the most glorious examples a lost man will ever have.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Sad situation, a great salvation, and then I see a glorious celebration.
Yes.
What a self. Somebody said, where's that at? I'm glad you asked. Look at verse number 4. Blessed is that man. Woo!
Yes.
Celebration time, boys. It's like that. Like that fellow and his wife that went to the hospital to visit that guy that was hurt. I mean, he's in bad shape. And he's going to furnish it. Now, listen. This guy told his wife. Well, the next thing you know, said there'll be a running and a shouting. Said, next thing you know, it'll be chandelier time, baby. I'm here to tell you, hey, wouldn't hurt to have a little chandelier time around here. Amen to God. It ought to be celebration time. Son, we ought to be in celebration. Blessed is the man. Can you get a hold of that? Happy, blessed. Peaceful, confident is the man. Blessed is the man that puts his trust in the Lord. What a celebration. Amen to God. Now I got to share this with you, and I'm a closer. Why should it be a celebration time? Look in verse number 4. Blessed is a man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside the lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works, which thou hast done, and thy thoughts, which are to who? Let me ask you something this morning. Why shouldn't we celebrate?
Right.
Hey, start naming the wonderful works to usward.
Yes, sir.
Could I begin by saying redemption?
Amen.
Forgiveness of sin?
Amen.
Heaven?
Amen.
Could I say one of the wonderful works? I've gone to prepare a place for you.
Amen.
And if I go, I shall return for the Lord.
Yes.
Himself shall descend from heaven.
Yes.
For the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first.
Amen.
Thanks be unto God. I'm telling you, His wonderful, wonderful works to us were. And not only His works, but His thoughts. Do you know that God thought about you this morning when you got up? He thought about you when you were taking a shower. He thought about you when you were driving here. He's been thinking about you while you're sitting here. He's thinking about what you're going to do when you leave here. He's thinking about your health. He's thinking about your eyes, your kidneys, your liver, your heart. He's thinking about your hair. He's thinking about your teeth. He is thinking about your love. He's thinking about your family. He's thinking about your children. He's thinking of... Somebody said, oh, no, I'm telling you, wonderful are His thoughts. That's what. And look here. God never does a work without thinking on it first.
Amen.
He's not like some of you that just runs out and does something off the spur of the moment to be doing it. Before God ever does anything, He sits down and counsels Himself about it and takes great thought and then does it. Now that ought to get... Did that get a hold of you?
Amen.
Do you think it surprised God when you got saved? David said in the psalm, said, I'm poor and needy, but He thinketh upon me.
Yeah.
Oh, Hall, look at him down there. I noticed yesterday over at the house,
Miss Hall, I said something to her. She said, now what have I done now? A little bit later, I said, honey, where do you want to eat at? I don't care. I went in there where she's at. I said, what's the matter, sweetheart? Are you mad at me?
No.
Back out and sat down, went to tacking on a little old board. Then she came out there and went, I said, that's bad. I said, now what's wrong? She said, have we bit off more than we can chew? She said, I'm sick of paint. Look at me. It's all over me. It's all over the floor. I'm just sick of paint. She said, I tried to sell this stinking house to Patty Ford for $150 and she wouldn't give $150 for it. But you know something? God's thinking about her.
Amen.
And He's thinking about you. And He's done some wonderful works. Because He sat down and thought the whole thing through about you before He ever done the work.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, on that basis, it ought to be celebration time.
Amen.
I'm going to close with this. If He's thinking about you and His thoughts are to usward, don't you think that our thoughts ought to be to Him?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
If He's thinking about me, I ought to be thinking about Him. Buddy, I'm going to tell you, I went to the basement yesterday morning, sat down, tried to study a little bit for this morning, and I'll tell you, I hadn't been there long, boy, until the Holy Ghost flooded my soul. And when I surfaced out of that basement, I told Mom, I said, Jesus has been good to me today. He's done spoke. Are you hearing? Hey, He thinks about you. In your sorrow, your heartache, your hurts, when things ain't going right, you feel like nobody loves you and nobody cares, I'm telling you, He is thinking about you.
Amen.
What a God. What a sad situation we were all in. But what a great salvation Jesus brought to us. And I'm telling you, if you can't celebrate now, mark her down. There's coming a day when you will.
Amen.
There'll be a grand celebration on the hills of glory.
Amen.
And it's not long down the road. I tell you, the nuts of this world is looking for a party. But I'm looking for a coronation.
Amen.
Thanks be unto God when we crown Him Lord and King of all. What a wonderful day that's going to be. Let's stand together.